Now, we've been saying that developing self-esteem begins with developing my concept of God. But the second part of this is that it also has to do with developing a concept of what God thinks of me as a person. What are some of the things that God says about me? What does he think of me? One of our problems in accepting what God has done in our lives is that we compare ourselves with others, and we think, my, that other person can serve the Lord so much more effectively, I wish I could do that. God says, nonsense. I've made you just like I want you, and I have put into your life just what I want you to have. Look at Romans, the 9th chapter, with me a moment. Romans 9, beginning with verse 20. On the contrary, says Paul, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? Oh, this is a terrific passage. One thing I like about it is Paul calls us all a bunch of lumps. That's all we are. We're just lumps. No matter how we look or what we do, in God's sight, we're just lumps. And God takes us and he fashions us. Now, the interesting thing is this. Have you ever noticed it says, out of some he makes a vessel for honorable use, and out of other lumps he makes vessels for common use. Now, in our home, we have some pretty pots, teapots that were given. I have a beautiful teapot and set that was given to us by our friends in England, and my wife, Florine, has it on display in one of these cases with a glass door in front of it where we can look at it. And every once in a while, we take it out and use it for some special occasion. Maybe friends come over, or we have a special function of some kind, and then we put it away, and there it sits, and we look at it. But over here in our dish closet, we have some mugs, just mugs. And I pull those out 3 or 4 times a day. I drink coffee out of them, or I drink tea out of them, or something like that. They're just common mugs. Now I think, which of those is really being used more? The one that's there for that special occasion, or the common mugs that we use every day and many times a day? And I think, Lord, that's right. There's more need for common mugs than there is for those special instruments that do special things on special occasions. So there is no such thing as superiority or inferiority, somebody who has a more important job or somebody who has a less important job. In God's economy, he has made us just the way he wants us, to fill a certain slot and to perform a certain function. And what he desires is that we do that with his blessing. So he has a perfect design. That's what he thinks of me. He looks at me, he says, George, you are just what I want you to be. And I want you to function just like that, because that's how I made you. And he wants me to be happy with that, not to complain and not to wish I were somebody else. There's a beautiful little song I heard recently. It says this, I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. It's a children's record that I heard it on. But I thought, that's a fantastic message. That's right. Every one of us is a great big bundle of potentiality. God wants to set it loose. He wants to use us. That's what God thinks of you, and that's what he thinks of me. What else does he say about us? Well, one thing he says, and I hope we never forget this, I hope it never becomes commonplace. He says, George, you're a forgiven sinner. Don't ever forget that. And I say, Lord, thank you. I don't want to forget it. Because there are so many people walking the streets of this world today who know nothing of that forgiveness. They walk around under a tremendous load of guilt. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know where to turn with it. And I have been forgiven. And God says to me, not only have you been forgiven, but you can come to me and find forgiveness anytime. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 5:8 reminds us of that as well. Think of it. That's fantastic. We are forgiven. That's what God thinks of you. Another thing he thinks of you. You're a new person. with a new hope. He has made you a new creature in Christ. He's made me a new creature in Christ. And He gives us a whole new hope in life. Apart from Christ, we wouldn't have that. That's why He says in that beautiful verse that we looked at a little earlier, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope." God is a God of hope. And He makes you, and He makes me, a new person with a new hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, He has given us a new comforter. Oh, and this is fantastic. Think of it. He has given us the Spirit of God to teach us and to guide us into all truth. In John, we're told in two passages, in the 14th chapter and in the 16th chapter, that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. That's John 14:26. "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And then in John 16:13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." Think of that. God has given you and me His Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. What a blessing! That's what God thinks of you. That's how important you are to God. And the fourth thing is just that. You are unique. I am unique. God has made us very specially to fill a special place in His body that no one else can fill in the same way. It doesn't make any difference whether it's a place that people see or don't see, a vessel for special use or common use. It doesn't make any difference. The place is just as important to God. That smallest little screw in that machine is just as important as the primary cogs that drive it. And in God's economy, there are no big jobs or little jobs. There are just jobs. God has something for each of us, and you are unique, and I am unique. 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us that in the body, the foot can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." No part of the body can get along without the other parts of the body. I think, here I have this hand that I want to use, but the only way that hand can function is if my arm is functioning, if my shoulder is functioning, if my brain is sending out the right signals to get that hand to function. It all has to be in coordination. And that's why when God says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 16, where He's talking about the body, He says, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Every part. Oh, listen, my friend, you are unique, and you are important to God. That is what He thinks of you. And when we begin to get that kind of a perspective, and we see ourselves from God's point of view, then we begin to develop what the Bible calls a sane estimate of ourselves.